We certainly thank God for his presence in this place. And I want to once again salute the music ministry for what they have been doing, amen, each week and leading us in worship. I so appreciate what they do on a consistent basis, on a faithful basis. We certainly appreciate the music ministry. I remember when we first started this church, I said that I wanted us to have a beautiful blend of word and worship. We did not want to be imbalanced at all. We wanted to have the word and also worship. So I'm grateful that the music department is doing their part and the people of God doing their part. Amen. And I'm going to try to do my part right now. Amen. Turn with me, if you will, to 1 Timothy, the second chapter. And we're going to begin reading in just a moment. I'll give you a moment to find your place. 1 Timothy, the second chapter. And I want to read two verses in your hearing. I urge then, first of all, that requests, prayers, intercession, and thanksgiving be made for everyone, for kings and all those in authority, that we may live peaceful and quiet lives in all godliness and holiness. And today, with the help of the Lord, I want to deal with the subject as we approach President's Day. Let us pray for President Trump. Let us pray for President Trump. Let us pray together. Father, we thank you even now for this word that is set before us. We thank you, Father, for this time to preach the word of the living God. Father, I pray even now, Lord God, that you would touch my mind, my heart, my soul, that you, Father, would enable me to preach and teach responsibly, O God. I pray that the people of God will hear this word and hear this exhortation. And I pray, Lord God, that you, Father, allow them to hear and then to do what your word is calling for. Help us, Lord God, to be prayerful for President Donald J. Trump. Let us, O God, seek to, Lord, have you intervene in his life, leadership, and administration, because we are praying, O God, and we're calling on your holy and your righteous name. Now, Father, be with us for this time of preaching. Allow your presence, O God, to be made known in this place, and we will give you glory and honor and praise, for truly it all belongs to you. These things we ask in the glorious name of Jesus Christ, we pray with thanksgiving. Let God's precious people say, amen and amen. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord, our God. Brother Thompson, take your time. Take your time. Brother Thompson, don't move fast, but take your time. It has been said that there are two topics that you just don't ever discuss: religion and politics. These two hot topics have been at the center of heated discussion and expressions of dismissal and outright hatred. And of the two hot topics, religion and politics, politics has taken center stage at this time, at this point in our great nation. On a regular basis, on a consistent basis, we find people looking at what President Trump is doing or listening to what he is saying. And the question is, how do I feel about President Trump? The I is not me. The I is all of us. How do I feel about President Donald J. Trump? Let's be clear in saying that he has his staunch supporters, his faithful, his loyal supporters, his ride or die supporters. There can be no question about that. I remember when he was on the campaign trail, he said that he can shoot someone on Fifth Avenue and not lose any voters. I have a few thoughts about that. I don't know all that I'll share about it, but he said that he can shoot someone on Fifth Avenue and not lose supporters or voters. One, I don't know why he would even say that. Secondly, I believe that there is some element of truth in his assertion because he does have supporters who are loyal, who are faithful, who are staunch supporters. But I also thought about how in the midst of allegations of President Trump saying some things and doing some things and being caught on tape saying inappropriate things, a reporter asked a Republican congressman, what would you think or what would you say if President Trump, he was a candidate at the time, if Trump was actually caught on video saying, I like raping women? What would you say, sir? So obviously, we would think we know what the answer would be. There would be disdain. There would be a sense of, I can't support that. But rather than say that, this Republican congressman said, well, that's interesting. I have to see what's going on. I have to consider what's actually happening. And that is to say that, again, President Trump has some staunch supporters to where almost anything that he does is within bounds and nothing hardly is out of bounds. Now, to be fair, President Trump does have some staunch supporters who simply believe that he is doing a great job. Some really believe that what he is doing and how he is carrying out his official duties as a president is exactly what we need in this country at this time. And when people feel that way and they are sincere in their support of President Trump, we must be careful not to demonize them and somehow suggest that they are out of bounds or disconnected from reality or disconnected from God. He does have some supporters, many supporters, who may not agree with everything that he does or says, but yet they throw their weight and their support behind him. But then he has his detractors, those who oppose him, those who bitterly oppose them, those who can hardly find anything that's worth even talking about as it relates to anything called a virtue or a sense of character. So there are the supporters, there are the detractors. We understand that the nation is divided right now. I'm 48 years old, be 49 in a minute, and I've never seen this country as divided as it is right now. Now, I imagine some who are older than me may can think of other times that you've seen, but personally, I've never seen a time in our country when we were actually divided like this. But let's also understand that there is also division in the church. We cannot be naive and think that those who are in the church do not support President Trump. There are people in the church, good people in the church, who support President Trump, his administration, and all that's attached to him. So there's some supporters in the church, but then there are some detractors in the church. Some would suggest that Trump is in God's hands, that Trump is an instrument in the hand of God to do a great work. Others would suggest that Trump is a pawn in Satan's hands. The church is divided. Now, I want to speak to the church in general, But I really want to speak to those of us who are bitter opponents, as it were, of President Trump. Now, I can't say what the majority is or the minority as relates to the portion. I have a guess because of what I hear and speaking with people. But I want to address those of us who do not necessarily support President Trump, because I realize it takes very little effort and very little character to criticize President Trump. But it does take a whole lot of Christian maturity and transformation through Jesus Christ to say, even though I don't support him as such, I can still do what I need to do, which is pray for him. See, sometimes we move in our feelings, and then we fail to grab hold of the word of God that's telling us what our marching orders are. I believe it was last week that I said, it does not matter how we feel about a thing when God gives us instructions. We cannot be selective in that assertion. I cannot be selective in that assertion. In spite of how I may feel personally, the word of God gives us an exhortation. The word of God tells us what our position and our posture should be. The word of God calls us to prayer. Notice, if you will, this brief text that is set before us. Can we deny that Paul here is speaking to Timothy, who was left in Ephesus to lead that church? The first chapter, he dealt with false teachers and getting them straight, getting them in order. But by the time he came to the second chapter, it seemed that he's given instructions on worship. Some even suggested that he was offering a church manual. How do you get along in the house of God? As we consider these first two verses, notice what it says. I urge you then, first of all, that requests, prayers, intercession, and thanksgiving be made for everyone, for kings and all those in authority, that we may live peaceful and quiet lives in all godliness and holiness. Can we question the reality that Paul is saying, if nothing else is happening in ministry or happening in the church ought to be praying. Can I get two witnesses in the building? We can do all kind of stuff in the house when we gather in Jesus' name, but we ought to be people of God who know something about prayer, and not just know something about prayer, but are willing to pray. When we come together, if we have not prayed, we have not had church, and we are not the church if we don't know to pray when we come together. But not only that, the text says that prayer should be offered for everyone. Notice how that is inclusive, not exclusive. We're not trying to exclude anyone. So often the church is quick to speak in words of disdain or with words of disdain rather than pray for those who we think are out of bounds or out of the will of God. It is not so much our place to point out who is out of bounds, because truth be told, while we're pointing out other folk who are out of bounds, the reality is we are out of bounds sometimes too. Okay, I'm not talking to anybody. I'm talking about myself. I'm out of bounds sometimes. And I want somebody to pray for me. The text says that prayer should go forth for everyone. That means everyone is included. The folks that you think are foul should be prayed for. The folks that you think are enemies of God, we should lift them up in prayer to our God. So in a very general sense, we know that we must pray for everyone, but then the text gets specific. It says, for kings and all those in authority. See, the king made policies, and the king makes decrees. And these policies and these decrees have a direct impact on the lives of the people under their leadership. You see, the reality is the king can make life good or bad for the subjects. And Paul here is saying that you need to pray for the king. Now, let's not get tripped up by this word king. We do understand that this text was written in the distant past, in a place that we're not familiar with, in a language that's not our own. We understand that, but the reality is we must come to this text and understand this text by way of analogy. we understand by analogy that what Paul is saying is pray for those in authority over you. And in this case, it would say we need to pray for the president of this great nation. We understand this text by analogy, and we pray for the president. But I hear you. But I don't like President Trump. I don't respect President Trump. Please understand that the text has nothing at all to say about pray for the king if you respect him. The text has nothing to say about pray for the king if you believe he's in the hands of God. The text does not say that. In fact, Paul penned these words under Nero's administration. Nero was the emperor of Rome, and he was a wicked, violent man. But Paul said, pray for kings and those who are in authority over you. So, beloved, you might not like President Trump. And really, that's your business. It really is. But can you actually respect the office that he holds? Whether we like it or not, the votes have been cast, and he is our president. You really said nothing at all to say he is not my president. If you are a citizen of this great country, guess what? You have no other president besides President Trump. So the question is not whether or not you can distance yourself from President Trump. The question is, will you obey the word of the Lord? Because the word of the Lord says we need to pray for the king. We need to pray for the president. And okay, let me appeal to the selfish folks in the building. The text goes on to say pray for the king and those in authority so you can live a life of quiet and peace and all godliness and holiness. If you can't pray for any other reason, think about this. I want to pray for the president so my life can be well and blessed in this country. I want him to make policies and have decrees and so forth that's going to benefit me. If that's the only way you can do it, then you do it. But to make sure you stand in the word of God. Take your footing in the word of the living God. And this text tells us that we need to pray for the president. So we understand then the foundation has been laid. We need to pray for the president. So what shall we pray? I want to take the big idea from this text and just deal with some things. What do we need to pray as it relates to the president of this great country of ours? First of all, let us pray that President Trump would recognize the folly and the sinfulness of pride. See, we need to have a proper self-concept. We need to see ourselves in a positive light. There can be no doubt about that. Our self-esteem should be strong. But we need to stay away from pride. Have you noticed that when President Trump speaks, he seems to want to speak as if there's absolutely no one better than him and absolutely nothing. He is the best in everything. A businessman saying during the campaign season, I know more about ISIS than the generals, believe me. As I thought about that, I believe that's pride mixed with delusion. To assert that he knows more about ISIS than our generals, but he has to be at the top. He said, after all these allegations of him disrespecting women, he said, no one respects women more than I do. Believe me. Amongst charges, in the midst of charges of racism and antisemitism, he said, I'm the least anti-Semitic person you will ever meet. I'm the least racist person you will ever meet. Always going to the top where there's absolutely no one better. He asked the question, is Donald Trump smart? Is he intelligent? He said, well, I believe that I comprehend things better than most anyone. Over and over again, feeling the need to be the very best at all times in every respect. And that's dangerous. And we need to make sure that we pray that he would come to his senses, come to his senses, and see the folly and the sinfulness of standing in pride. In fact, one time when he was catching so much rebellion, I won't say rebellion, but resistance and criticism, someone asked him, why do you think so many people are opposing you the way they are? He said, it's probably because I'm such a very strong Christian. And I thought about that. How would I answer that question? I'm not going to say I'm a very strong Christian. I'll say, Lord, or I'll say to you rather, please be patient with me. God is not through with me yet. But he says he's a very strong Christian. So that should give us a foundation for us to pray and expect God and believe that God is going to do some great things in his life because he is a person of prayer. So we understand that. So we want to pray that he would understand that pride is not a good thing. Pride is not something that he should embrace. Pride is not something that he should walk in. The Bible says we should not think more highly of ourselves than we ought. We need to have a low estimation of ourselves, not in a demeaning way, but in a way that tells us that we need to make sure that we know who we are and not try to say we're always the very best in everything that we do. The Word of God says that God resists the proud. The Word of God says if we exalt ourselves, we will be humbled. We will be taken down a notch. Pride goes before destruction, and a haughty look before a fall. So the Bible speaks over and over again about the sinfulness and the folly of pride. Ask King Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, one who had great power, one who saw himself as a sovereign ruler, one who believed that the glory that he had accumulated was because of his own might, strength, and power. God had to deal with that prideful ruler, and he took him down a notch. He had him away from people, walking with the animals. His body was wet with the dew of heaven. He lost his mind. He lost his kingdom for a time, all because he thought that he was higher than he really was. So when we understand how God deals with the prideful, those who think they are where they are because they're so bright, so smart, so intelligent, we need to know all the more that we ought to pray for our president, because you must admit, if you are sane at all, that he seems to be lifted up in pride. The campaign is over, but he's still trying to talk about how large the crowds was on the day of inauguration and the Electoral College, and he's always has to be the best in everything. Believe me, we need to pray that he would understand that walking in pride is not a good thing. Now, I hear some of you who support him. Pastor, this sounds like being judgmental or being critical. Now, if I ask you to pray for me, I don't want you praying all over here. I want you to pray for me according to my need. If I got some stuff that's out of bounds, pray that God helps me get it in bounds. It's not being critical. It's being real. If a person is a drunkard, won't leave alcohol alone, let's not pray that he wins the lottery, she wins the lottery. Let's pray that they put the bottle down. Let's just call it what it is. So let's pray that God would touch his heart and that he would actually leave pride alone. This was something that was said by President Trump some time ago, and it disturbed me. Now, he already said he is a very strong Christian, but he also said that there is nothing that he ever needed to ask God forgiveness for. How do you even become a Christian if you can't come to God and humble yourself and say, here I am, a sinner? We chuckle a little bit with that. But the reality is this. That's a sad commentary for him to say it. The other reality is he is God's creation. God does love him. There's no question at all about that. And we ought to pray for him. Pray that he will learn to lay aside his pride. But there's another thing that we need to pray for our president. Let's pray that he follows the example of King Solomon. See, King Solomon was in Gibeon, according to 1 Kings, the third chapter, and we find that he actually fell asleep and had a dream. And the Lord came to him and said, "Ask what you will." Now, Solomon was about to assume the throne of his father David, and he recognized that this is a monumental task. This is a huge responsibility. I can't do this by myself. I'm getting ready to lead this great nation, and there's nothing within me, nothing that I have of my own, that will cause me to think that I can lead this great nation. I just said that we need to ask God to help President Trump to take a page out of King Solomon's book. We wish to God that President Trump would just acknowledge. He doesn't have to acknowledge it to us. It's not necessary. But come before God on bended knee and say, "God, I can't do this by myself. I need you to work some things in me, work some things out of me, because I can't do this all by myself." We need to pray that there's a realization that this job is too big for me. Now, I will say this, which is a glimmer of hope. I remember after he actually won and he was speaking with someone, and you can look at his demeanor, and if you've been paying attention, you can tell that it was now beginning to dawn on him that this is huge. And I appreciate that. I appreciate looking at his demeanor and recognizing he understands that this is serious. So along with that, let's pray they will lean on God. Can I just say this for a second? Because you already know this anyway. You already know that I've been to school. You already know I have all these different degrees. Guess what? That means absolutely nothing. Nothing, nothing, nothing. Before I get up to preach, God help me. I don't know what y'all see when y'all look at me when I'm getting ready to get up. You might think the brother's scared. I'm not scared, but I know this is serious. God help me. If you don't get up when I get up, there's no need in me getting up. Because if you don't work through me, nothing will get worked in the first place. So it's a good thing to say, "God, I can't do this by myself." So Solomon could have asked for anything. He said, "I want wisdom." He said, "Give me wisdom to know how to lead these people." And that's what I want us to pray for our president, that God would give President Trump wisdom. We pray that President Trump would ask God, and we have no idea what he really says to God or does not say, but it is our prayer that he would ask God, "God, give me wisdom." He may say, "I have all kinds of knowledge," and that's good. And no doubt he has knowledge. You cannot be a successful businessman without having some knowledge, knowing how to get some things done. We must agree to that because that's just the truth. But let's pray that he would ask God specifically for wisdom, to know what to do with that knowledge, to know when to use the knowledge, to know how to navigate through the murky situations and waters that he is facing now and will face. It's easy for us to be armchair theorists talking about what we would do. It's easy for us to be Monday morning quarterbacks talking about, "If I was in the game." First of all, you're not in the game. He's in the game, but we're on the sidelines of the game, and our job is to offer prayer support for our president. See, you might be trying to decide what to wear to work tomorrow. But the decision that he must make as our president are huge decisions. In some cases, life or death decisions. He is our commander in chief. And that means that at times he will have to send our bright men and women into harm's way. And that's never to be done flippantly, but rather soberly and then the fear of God, asking God to help. Sometimes he will need to send folk into harm's way. Sometimes people will die. That means we need to ask God to give him wisdom, to work with him, to know when to slow things down, to know when to go to the right, to know when to go to the left. And we want God to give him wisdom so that he can have a wise administration. That's what we desire. We do not want to spend all our time talking about how bad we think he is. It is wasted time to spend more time. And let me just say this. I'm preaching to myself. It is wasted time to keep talking horizontally when we ought to be talking vertically. Let's talk to God. If I spend 10 minutes talking about what I don't like about President Trump, I can spend 10 minutes in prayer praying for him. And that's what we need to do. We want to ask God to give him wisdom. But a part of that is this: knowing how to lean on his advisors. See, in the multitude of counselors, there is safety. Now, I used to ask myself the question, or just wonder, how in the world can the president run the nation? How does he seem to know so much about so many things? Well, you can't be the president without having some intelligence. But the reality is, he has advisors. He has a cabinet. He has people to take various aspects of the responsibility of this great country while he retains overall responsibility. But there are advisors who can come in and say, I want to caution you about this thing, or caution you about that thing. I want to give you the proper information about this thing so you can make wise decisions. So our prayer is that he would actually be a man of wisdom, because God gives him wisdom because we're praying, and prayerfully because he's praying, but also because he knows when to listen to his advisors, those who would be his counselors. Let us pray that God will lay his whole hand on him to give him the wisdom that he needs. But not only that, we need to pray that President Trump remembers that he is the president of the United States. Y'all don't hear me. The United States. There can be no question that there is a great deal of diversity in our country. But I believe that's part of the strength of this country, the fact that there is diversity. But we can have diversity and still have unity. We do not have to agree on everything, but we ought to have the ability to walk together. And as President Trump is carrying out his duties, let us pray that he understands that he's the president of all people. All people, not to exclude some and include others, but he is the president of the entire country. Let us pray that he remembers that. Because it's easy to sort of work against a group of people that you feel oppose you. It's almost just human to somehow try to leave others behind or exclude others if they don't see things the way you do. So let's pray that he understands and always remembers that he is the president of the United States of America. And along those lines, as we understand there is diversity, let's pray about his temperament. That arose during the campaign, saying he does not have the temperament to be the president. I've never seen personally a president so combative, not an American president. I've never seen an American president so dismissive of others. Let us pray that God does something about his temperament, and I mean that. It's a dangerous thing when you say that you can't believe what the intelligence community is telling you, when the various arms of the intelligence community is trying to tell you something, and you still say, I don't believe it. I refuse to believe it. That's a problem. It's a problem when we understand that we have checks and balances, yet you have a problem with what's coming out of the course. It's one thing to have a problem with what's coming out of the course, but to call folk so-called judges. There is a separation of powers for a reason. So we need to ask God to help him with his temperament and ask that President Trump would realize that maybe I need some help in this area. I've never in my life heard of fake news until now. New York Times is fake news. ABC is fake news. NBC is fake news. CBS is fake news. CNN is fake news. MSNBC is fake news. Everybody seems to be fake news except Fox. I believe he's on good terms with Fox. But how is it that all these respected news agencies are somehow conspiring to constantly and regularly report things that are inaccurate about President Trump? This morning I took a look at something as I got up, and it concerned me. Senator John McCain, the Republican senator from Arizona, is one who I actually have a great deal of respect for. I really do. He said that with President Trump constantly calling these news agencies fake, it's really opening up some doors that we don't really want to look through. And I'm paraphrasing. He didn't say it exactly this way. But he said, one thing that a dictator does first is to attack the free press, to silence anyone who would say anything about the leader. So that's what dictators have done. They want to attack the press. So he has attacked the intelligence community. He has attacked the courts. He has attacked the news. And that seems to suggest that if there is an idea or an opinion that's contrary to his, he can see no good in it. This is a democracy. There will be a difference of ideas, positions, and opinions. Sometimes the best thing that a leader can do is hear a dissenting voice. That's why I've told our elders, who have a great deal of respect for them, and I praise God for it. But I said, sometimes you need to come to me and respectfully tell me that I'm wrong. And then I said, if I'm not listening to you, I need you to be more forceful in telling me that I'm wrong. Why did I say that? This is the church of the living God. This is not my kingdom, and I cannot be a dictator. Therefore, I need to be able to hear a dissenting voice or a contrary opinion without becoming combative. Let us pray for President Donald J. Trump that God would touch his temperament. Bless you. But let's shift for just a second as I begin to move towards my end. Let us pray for President Trump as it relates to his peace of mind, as it relates to his overall well-being. Again, it is easy to simply sit back and criticize him. And I'm not preaching to you because I'm included in what I'm saying. It really takes nothing at all to be critical. But can you imagine how it would feel? And we really can't. But can you imagine how it would feel if you were the president and you had all this responsibility on you? If you had to make decisions for the good or the detriment of the nation, can you imagine how that would wear on you? You see, the thing is, there are some ideologies that President Trump has that I agree with. One is, I've always felt that we should look at their own before we go outside our borders to help somebody else. Many years ago when I was in the Air Force, I was over in Dahran and we were pushing pallets of MREs, meals ready to eat. We were sending all these pallets of food over to Africa. And as I'm pushing all of these pallets and sending them to Africa, I'm thinking, we have people in our own country right now that are hungry. And I would like to say that would enjoy these MREs, but the reality is sometimes folk can be hungry and picky. I don't quite understand it, Deacon, but my heart was in the right place. And I said, something is not right when we can constantly go and send aid overseas. And that bothered me. What about our own people? Now, I'm not talking about being selfish, but I do believe that President Trump is onto something when he says that we need to win again. But we need to pray that God help him to win with the right methods and the right means. But we ought to be concerned. Just because we have compassion of Christ, we should be concerned about our president. Because no matter what he says, I don't care what it is, somebody's going to disagree with him. No matter what decision he makes, somebody will criticize it. How would you like to be a leader and pretty much everything you did was criticized? That's weight. That's a drag on your soul. To know that if you go to the right, you'll be attacked. If you go to the left, you'll be attacked. If you stand still and say, I just can't call it, you'll still be attacked. No matter what you do, you'll be attacked. No one wants to live under that pressure, but that's the kind of pressure that our president is living under right now. We need to make sure that we're praying and asking God to give him times of rest and relaxation, and God ministers to his mind, that God keeps his health strong and vibrant, because he is carrying a huge weight. So we ought to pray that God would take him up in his arms, that God would minister to him, because again, he is our president. And finally, if you notice in the text, it says, pray for kings and all those who are in authority. Let's deal with the all others in authority piece for just a brief moment. We need to pray for Congress. We need to pray for the Senate. Because a president, really, there's executive order, sure. But in some cases, and we've seen this with President Obama, some things, the good that you may try to do, you can't do them because there is no agreement or willingness to work with the president coming out of Congress or the Senate. So let's pray that those who are in Congress, those who are the senators, will know how to work with President Trump and not just against him for no other reason that he's a Republican. We should never refuse to work with somebody because they're not from our political party. What about reaching across the aisle and actually saying, I want us to work together for the good of the nation? And in some cases, President Trump can't really dictate that. We need to pray for Congress and the Senate and ask that God would deal with them and minister to their hearts. Now, we do understand that sometimes the work that they'll need to do is to push back. Sometimes the work that they'll need to do is to say no. But when it's all said and done, we want to say that we've prayed sincerely and fervently for our president. And now we see him walking in integrity and character, and dare I say, righteousness before God. All the while being reminded that he is the president. He is not a Christian pastor. So he cannot simply go to the word of God to make his decision. I don't think he'll do that anyway. And I don't say that as a negative statement. But let us remember that he is the president. And so there are certain arenas that he needs to navigate through. But let us pray that when the sun sets on his administration, let us be able to look back reflectively and say, we thank God that he turned out to be a very fine president. Let us pray for President Donald J. Trump as you rest on your feet.